I'm Craig Johnson. Welcome to our podcast. For this week's message or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website, drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you. This morning, I want to talk for a few minutes about embracing the blessing of resistance. Now, I don't know if you've noticed that whenever you want to advance with your talents, your gifts, your abilities, your potentials, there's always pushback. That's normal. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul for a few minutes this morning. Paul was beaten after every sermon. I mean, what if every time I'm done speaking, you are clubbed almost to death? That's a real invitation to serve the Lord, isn't it? Every time the guy went into a town, he was run out on a rail, tarred and feathered, whipped, beaten, and yet Paul knew that his influence would draw resistance. And I'm here to tell you that your influence moving forward in God, as you obey him to move forward, and he's been nudging all of us, isn't he? Move forward, do the next right thing. You need to advance now. It's not a retreat, it's an advance. But whenever you advance, there's resistance. That's normal. You have to get used to that being a regulating fact in your life and not think that God does not like you and he's not with you. Because if that's the way the Apostle Paul thought, he would have quit right away. By the way, to avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. All you have to do to get the resistance allegedly to back down is to give up. But let me tell you something about the devil. He's a wicked devil. He will tell you if you compromise, things will get better, the resistance will lift. But he's a liar. So as soon as you compromise, he takes the ground you took back and he still resists you. He's a liar. You know, it's the old story we heard about the snake that's half frozen. The guy finds, and he's hiking, and he thinks, oh, the poor thing. And he puts it up under his shirt and warms it up. And then, shoom, he's bitten. And he's shocked. You know, he goes, hey, I just saved your life. He goes, you know, I was a snake when you picked me up. It's by nature the enemy's design to get you to compromise as though you're going to have relief, and then he takes the ground you had and shames you about it. He's a wicked devil. He'll give you a wicked thought. It's not even yours. You're not even that evil. He'll put a wicked thought in your mind. You'll act on it, and then he'll go, what an idiot. Why did you act on that? You go, well, you told me to. Yeah, well, you're stupid. Why did you even do that? You see, there's a conflict going on. You notice we're in a spiritual warfare. In your life right now, you're getting resistance. The question is, how do you interpret it correctly? Who's it coming from? Because it's a part of the fabric of God's world. Listen to our text, 1 Corinthians 16:9. I just want to read it to you. Paul says, a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Paul was on the threshold of the greatest ministry opportunity door of his life. And I'm here to say many of you are standing near the door. It's a unique door for you. That it's an advantage, it's an opportunity, and it's about to open uniquely for you. Paul, in his case, it was the city of Ephesus. It was one of the greatest cities of the ancient world. And Paul had a dream. If I could bring the city of Ephesus, the power of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and everyone could know Jesus, then the whole bloodstream of the Roman world is going to get the gospel. Paul had a unique dream. And the Lord stood before him and said, Paul, there's a door. It's uniquely tailored to you. It's about to open. And he called it a mega door for his life. It was a real strategic door. And then he said, it's an effectual door. It's not only a wide open door, a big door, but it's going to be a door of fruitfulness uniquely tailored to you. And Paul said, this is my advantage of a lifetime. And here it was. He got to go to Ephesus. Long story short, he goes in for 3 years. There are signs and wonders, and there's fruit in Paul's life, but there's also resistance because they tried to kill him in Ephesus after every service. You know, after a while, I know you think, you doubt God's love for you because of the resistance you're going through. What if you were whipped after every sermon, thrown off a mountaintop, left for dead? You know, after a while, you'd go, I wonder if I've signed up for the right profession, you know, trying to connect the dots here. Maybe I'm missing something. No. When you advance, in God and you take ground, you will get resistance. And that's normal because around every open door of blessing and opportunity, you're going to see resistance. So I just want to encourage most of you, don't quit because you're resisted. That's not the right thing to do. Keep going. Remember, we've been talking about lions, and we've been talking about how Jesus is moving now as the Lion of Judah, the root of David. That he is a lamb, but he's moving as a lion right now. And if you miss that, you're looking for lamb prints, but there's lion prints everywhere. Lions are unpredictable, they're uncontrollable, they're unmanageable. A lamb is sort of manageable and cute and cuddly. But Jesus isn't working like a lamb right now. He's moving like a lion. And boy, that lion roar is heard 5 miles away. Lions are amazing creatures. But I want you to realize that the enemy tries to imitate that lion-like nature of Christ. And whenever we advance, move forward in our gifts or personality or just the unique thing that you do, you don't have to be like other people. But when you go through unique doors open for you, you're going to get unique resistance tailor-made to you. The enemy knows exactly what stops you. Remember last week, gold, gals, and glory. Gold, guys, and glory, the three G's. That's it. He's got three arrows in his quiver, and we're all taken down by one of the three. It's not like the enemy has 5,000 little cards with regard to strategy. He uses three arrows. I tell people the devil doesn't have to come after me. He just sends a little Mushu demon after me. Says, you're ugly, and your mom addresses you funny. And, that's it. I wouldn't know what to do if Satan showed up. I mean, he's only shown up like twice in the history of the Bible. You know, it's only a minion you have to deal with. But resistance, whether it is external attack from the enemy or whether it's internal attack in your own mind, the hamster wheel of your own mind, you're hearing tapes from your mother, from your father. You know, the enemy doesn't have to. He doesn't strike 1,000 bricks once. He strikes one brick 1,000 times. You ever seen that in your head? You're stupid. Then you start saying, I'm stupid. And you guess what? You stay stupid. You know, stinking thinking. It doesn't work. It has to change because the enemy is designed. He is going to oppose you and resist you so that you quit, so that then he can shame you for quitting. What a wicked devil. So this morning, I just want to take a few minutes and I want us to look at resistance because risk and resistance go together. And listen to 2 Timothy 1:11 and 12. What triggers demonic attack against you and your dream, your vision, your calling? It says, and of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame because I know whom I have believed and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul says, the reason why I'm being resisted and attacked is because I'm obeying the call of God for my life. This because of that. When Paul got saved, God says in Acts chapter 9, he said, you will speak before governors and kings, you're going to have influence, but I will show you the things which you must suffer. It's like an airplane. You have to have two wings, right? You get the glory of the resurrection, but you get the fellowship of his sufferings. Resistance is natural. How you relate to it and interpret it is so important in the next little while that you don't misread the circumstances around you. Have you noticed any upheavals in our culture? Spiritually, politically, demonically. And everybody's trying to interpret what it means. It's not what happens, it's what it means. We have to become interpreters of the things of God because it's not the fact, it's the interpretation that's assigned to the fact so that we don't shoot one another. See, the Bible says we war not with flesh and blood. So all the flesh and blood you're seeing in your life is not the problem. But we war against spiritual principalities and powers and wicked powers in heavenly places. So in this culture, it's very important that we properly interpret the resistance and the tension that's going on so we can advance our lives without confusion and advance the gospel. So has God been luring you a little bit to step forward? Out of your comfort zone maybe a little bit? Maybe he's thrown you out of something because you wouldn't leave the comfort zone. You know, he's really good at that. Right? You'll leave or you'll go. It's sort of a choice. But he loves to, just like the mother eagle loves to feed her babies and give a lavish nest. And one day mama goes nuts and mama tears the nest apart and throws her youngins off the cliff to a 10,000-foot death. And they discover these little appendages on their back about the fourth time she's caught him and taken him back up. See, either die or be killed. I knew an old Pentecostal preacher that used to teach die or be killed. You know, it's like you're going off the cliff. It's just by your own will or his nudge. So it's a season where you need to move forward as he's nudging you. Come on, come on, come on. It's sort of like writing with your left hand when you're right-handed. It's all right. You can learn. You can stretch. If it isn't stretching you, do you know how brilliant you may be in one area and completely special needs in another? Yeah. Yeah, that's with technology. You know, like Jay Leno used to talk about his parents always unplugged the electric things and the 12 was always blinking, you know. And he goes, Mom, why do you unplug it every time? Well, your dad says it'll start a fire. It won't start a fire. That's how special needs I am mechanically. I go, what's this? It's a computer, Dad. You've had it for 10 years. Well, how do I open? You open it like that. You know, you can be really bright in one area and completely an idiot in another. But that's good. God's pushing you into the idiot zone to stretch you. And every time you advance, it's a little scary. We're like babies. We're like children, you know? It's like, how do I do that? Well, there's a first time for everything. So you just move forward. Paul said, I'm getting resistance because I'm doing what God said, which is to move forward with my message. And Paul said, there's a unique door set open for me and only me that I'm fashioned for. And it's going to be an effective door. But I have to contest with the fact that there are going to be many enemies. You know, when I was just a boy in my 20s, you know, I was serving God since I've been preaching since I was 16. But moving from Des Moines, Iowa to Los Angeles, California, might as well be going to the moon or one of the multiverses that we're not aware of. Because when I moved here and I started speaking here and preaching here, I was completely unaware that there would be someone that didn't like me. John Bradshaw has a tape called The Price of Nice. You will never be nice enough for everyone to like you, ever. It didn't have, look, the Lord Jesus says in John 15, 20, he goes, look, I'm the Lord, and they hated me. You're the disciple. It's not going to be any better for you. I thought if I was nice enough, oh, the price of nice, it'll kill you. Whew, you ever been real nice? I want to start a club called Nicer Than Jesus. I'm nicer than Jesus. I'll love them even though he casts them out. Bring them into my home. Oh, my heart's big enough. It was a pride issue, but it was a codependent thing. I really thought any problem, you know, the hard cases, I'd say, send them to me. I can love anyone to where they need to be. You know what? No one's going to love you except a handful of folk. It's okay. You can never be nice enough to make opposition go away and resistance leave. If you think that, you're in fantasy land. Very few people will like you, let alone love you. But that doesn't matter because the King of the universe has put his hand upon you. He's opening a door for you, and he wants you to go through it because God and you are a majority. One man with Christ is a majority. One woman with Christ is a majority. In fact, everyone will have an opinion. You get 10 Christians together, you get 30 opinions. Quit asking everybody about your case. You know, I was wondering what you think. Oh, no, no, don't do that. They'll answer. And they'll have four prayer prophetic friends call you, and you'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Keep your counsel to yourself. Or a few handful of trusted folk. Paul said, I'm under resistance because I'm moving forward in my gift. Anybody moving forward in their gift? Keep moving. Keep moving. Doesn't matter. Well, the lights went out. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't quit. Churchill, condensing the wisdom of a lifetime, said, never quit. Never, ever, ever, ever quit. That's all you learned in 90 years? The most important lesson. Paul didn't stop. Well, I was beaten. Maybe I, you know, didn't pray my faith promises properly. Loved one, Western Christianity today reflects something that is unbiblical. Suffering was the norm 2,000 years ago. Paul wasn't doubting whether or not Christ was with him because someone hit him in the face. We would. I mean, we renounce our faith when the mall is closed on Sunday. We broke a nail. Loved one, I'm dealing with people who have been through crushings and pressings their whole life, and I see someone give up with a hangnail. Someone spoke disrespectfully for me. I want to kill myself. It's like, well, wait a bit. Wait till you go through a third of what we all have been through. Then maybe you have, you know, I don't want to quit to preach and start to meddling, but what you've endured could kill some folk. Just a third of what you've been through. But the good news is God structures the resistance alongside your gift so that you're getting stronger the more you move ahead. And even if you can just fall forward, I'm 6 feet 2 inches further ahead when I fall down. I used to fall back and sideways. Now I fall forward. You see my rocky nose. That's exactly right. So you want to take ground, loved one. Just keep, do the next right thing. Just keep going. The door is open. It's a great door. It's an effectual door. You're finally going to see some fruit, but you're going to get resistance. So don't quit. Don't ever quit. It's not over when you fail. It's over when you quit. I saw that at a book table at a church 25 years ago. I was going through hell. And I heard all the preachers, and they wanted me to go to their table and buy one of everything they had. But I went, and one of the tables had the sign that said, it's not over when you fail. It's over when you quit. Now, when I've got my word, I'm leaving. I got on the plane and left before they could confuse me. You don't need to hear 45 sermons a week. You need to hear where God leads you to feed somewhere where you're being encouraged. Amen? Otherwise, they're going to uproot the teaching you just heard. I'd hear one encouraging message and three other preachers that preached against the guy that preached the message. So I'm just, you know, you need to guard your ears. Don't just listen to everything all the time, everywhere. Christian TV all the time, Christian messages all the time. You got 45 different people that you're feeding at. Make sure that you're getting some pure water. Amen? And you don't need a lot. You just need the right word at the right time to keep you going. So resistance comes first when you move forward in your gift, your ability, your anointing. That's what Paul was doing. Again, listen to Jesus. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. John 15:20, Jesus says, now remember, you're just a disciple, so don't think you're going to be treated any differently. By the way, if you want to see some resistance, go into any college or university and say that you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you love God and his word. Whoops! My daughter is so wise, Brooke. She's in college now. She's so bright. I could actually send you one of the essays that she just wrote, just a poetic she analyzed a magnificent Hawthorne poem, and she's smart and she's sharp. But she goes, Dad, I said, honey, it's called the paper chase. You reflect back what they want to hear. Don't you go in there and think you're going to change the tide of the age. Can't do it. You have to smile and you have to learn, but you have to be smart enough to realize that you don't state your Christian world and life view anywhere until you'll feel the heat go up. Because you're just a hater and a bigot and a racist and whatever else anybody's going to call. Have you? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You keep your faith just where you have to use wisdom, right? Don't just go into a 1,000-watt bulb and say, I love Jesus, and you're all going to hell. That doesn't work. Amen. We used to be given tracts that said turn or burn. I thought, what a wonderfully warm message to communicate to the culture. Loved one, you're not here to judge the earth. You're here to help everyone find a new beginning. We're lighthouses of God's grace and mercy. But you got to be a lighthouse. Sometimes you just shut up and you just let your light shine. The ships will come to you that need to come to you. I'm just throwing that out to anybody that thinks that they feel mandated to change the university system. Not going to happen. Just so you know. Okay. I doused your little dream with a bucket of water. All right, so the first reason you get resistance is you move forward. But the second reason that you'll get resistance is whenever you are given a new illumination by God. Listen to Hebrews 10:32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light when you endured a great conflict full of suffering. Listen to what the author says. He says, whenever God gives you a new idea, a new illumination, a new bit of information about your life, you're going to get resistance immediately. It's going to happen right away. So if you move forward in your talent, you're going to be resisted. As soon as God gives you a new light bulb idea, you know, and something about your life, something about maybe a new door you need to pursue, or so, right there, you're going to get resistance. It's normal. It's natural. The enemy is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, the devil's like someone in a hotel who's checking every door, every door, every door. Oh, and there's one open. Just don't let it be yours. You know what I mean? You just keep, you know, in the movies when they're like running from, you know, and they're on the fire escape and they're all checking every door, you know, to see, and you find one that's open, that's the one you go in, right? It's not, you don't need, it's not brain surgery. It's a real simple thing. Resistance follows illumination. Just recently, the Lord's been just giving me ideas and just sort of framing my life in a way that I could advance in. And whenever I get a Holy Ghost idea, something that's really wonderful, I mention it to Grant. And Grant said, my son Grant says, do it now. Don't talk about it. Do it now. And that's what I say to him. Do it now. Because you know what? Getting ideas is one thing. Pressing through the resistance that arises as a result of those ideas. I know I'm preaching to the wrong crowd because I know your life is just, you've landed in a feather bed. You're blessed on east, west, north, south. Well, the Apostle Paul, loved one, used to say, I see death on every hand, east, west, north, and south. Ever been in that mood? Death, death, death. Oh, look up, death. Look down, death. The Apostle Paul wasn't being negative. He was telling the truth. He was saying, look, I'm an olive being crushed so that God gets the oil he wants out of me, and it's good. I'm good. Hit me again. That's okay. I'm not going to. Loved one, we got to amp up our ability to resist the resistance by embracing it. Just saying it's par for the course. Nothing new under the sun. God doesn't hate me. There's nothing wrong that I need to change right now. I just need to face the fact that when I move forward, when God gives me new illumination, I'm going to be assaulted. Okay, just so you got that? Okay, we pretty much beat that to death. Now we're going to raise it from the dead and beat it for a few more minutes because I'm not going to let you go this early. Whew. Listen to Paul. The chief characteristic of his ministry was resistance. 2 Corinthians 11:23 and 27. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods until I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And all the people said, let me sign up for ministry. Amen. Stripes, violent beatings, Paul says, but none of these things move me. Then he says, I was beaten 5 times with 39 stripes. They would have 3 cords. One was a calf hide cord, 1 2 donkey hide cords. And they had glass bone or metal at the end of them. And Paul said, and notice the religious people are so gracious. There was a law that said you can only beat them 39 times because 40 would be inappropriate. So lest you hit them 40 times, make sure you only whip and flog them 39 times. Now, if you add up, that means he was beaten 117 times every time he was beaten with 39 lashes because of the 3 implements. Can you imagine? They would tie you down and they would bend you down and they would whip your torso front and back, your face front and back, then your legs front and back. And after 117, we're talking about the up to the mercy of how strong the Roman was that was exhibiting this behavior. Now, if someone looks at us and doesn't hug us at church, we're offended and taken down. What about this? But Paul said, you know, it's happened. It is what it is. My friend Tom Warner says, it is what it is, how it is, that it is, where it is, when it is, right now. Paul was getting 117 lashes every time. And he said 5 times, by the way. That's a total of 585 lashes. Do you realize that when you saw Paul, he looked more like the Elephant Man than he did a TV preacher? Scars. You know those scars? Have you seen the old antebellum slavery scars that these precious people endured? Just their backs and their chests. And Paul was covered head to toe everywhere you could look. He was imprinted with the scars. He said, the marks of following Jesus. Now, that should make you feel better by contrast. Right? Oh, then that's not it. He goes, oh, by the way, also 3 times I was beaten with rods. This was a metal bar beating the feet. You would be put in the equivalent of a straitjacket. You would be hung upside down, and with a metal bar, they would beat your feet until your feet were pulverized. Then try to get up. But even after this, he walked thousands of miles around the ancient Roman world because he understood resistance was a part of the anointing. The open door that was effectual before him would get pushback. Don't quit when you get pushback. I know a very prominent preacher who said he didn't really know he had influence until he started reading his haters. Because his haters showed him what he did, so he did double what the haters were hating. And he's very, very popular right now. He said, the devil overplays his hand. Sometimes he tells you too much information. So the haters would all hit him, you know, here, and then he'd say, well, I'm going to preach more about that. I'm going to do that more. So, you know, loved one, you're known by who loves you and by who hates you. If the common people love you and the religious people hate you, you're doing a great job. If the weird religious people love you and the common people hate you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So Jesus said, hey, no sweat. I'm the God-man. I never sinned in word, thought, and deed. And 50% of the people said I was a devil. You won't be any better than me. So what I'm saying as we move into the future, it's a bright door. It's going to be a night, but it's going to be a night full of stars. You've heard me talking about this for years. We are standing on the brink of the greatest outpouring of God in human history. And it transcends what's going on right now. And there's a lot going on in the kingdom of God. It's amazing. It's encouraging. It's refreshing. But he has the ability to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all you can ask or think. Salt and pepper some signs and wonders in with what's going on now. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. Your generation is the first generation that with simultaneity can show an event that happens 5 seconds ago to everyone on the planet, just like that. How about showing a leg growing on in a church service? Once they figure out it wasn't done with mirrors and there was no editing and it's live streaming. God's going to do a lot in our time. But it comes with a resistance in advance. Now, I'm just telling you an inside secret. I didn't know what star I was born under for the pressure I started getting as a young man. I was raised in a good home. My mom and dad were good folk. I had one brother. But I was attacked from the time I was little, spiritually. Just attacked with dreams, assaulted, all that. I'm thinking, what did I do? You know, what did I do at 14 that was so bad that I opened some, you know, belching seal, you know, that's been, it was resistance I was getting in advance. You know, I was going through my mind one time, the Lord said, Craig, this assault was against you before you ever did go out and do things that were stupid. You were already being resisted because the enemy can see the anointing on your life. And notice he'll go into a family and he'll attack one kid. He'll leave all the rest alone and he'll attack one kid because he sees the anointing. He sees the glory. He sees that an effectual door is going to be open to you. And so he resists. But let me tell you some good news. Satan's only a creature. He's only a creature. Don't get all upset about him. He fell with 1/3 of the angels and his numbers have never increased. And there are 7 billion people on the planet. He doesn't have infinite resources. He can't read your mind. He isn't everywhere, everywhen. So he has to limit where he assigns his resources. So in one sense, that's good news. And the other sense is the devil's probably never been to your house. Satan's after me, honey. All right, we'll just leave it there. So you're, out of 7 billion people, you're so important that the devil himself is showing up to take that parking place from you at the mall. Oh, anyway, another tape. Let's move on. You're probably dealing with Mushu is all you're dealing with. It's all you've ever dealt with was a kindergarten demon. And if that shuts you down, you don't need any more sent. He allots his forces and sends them all to my house. So, moving on. God knows your address, honey. The devil doesn't in most cases. So I just want to encourage you. Let me read something that Paul said. Resistance comes externally and internally. External resistance is the enemy assaulting you in whatever area, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, mentally. But there's an internal kind of resistance that you get from people around your life that are trying to shape your life for you. You know, the Apostle Paul kept saying, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be put in bonds, and I'm going to die, probably. And all his disciples were trying to fight him. No, Paul, don't leave. And Paul said, not only am I going to leave, but I'm going to die. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be bound by the Gentiles. And his disciples didn't like it. Anybody in your life gets uncomfortable and tries to manage your life for you, you know, they know God's purpose for you. They don't know what's going on in their life, but they know how to make you the Christian God has called them to be. That resistance internally, inside your personal space and relationships, is more of a threat sometimes than anything else. Someone wants you to be the Christian they want you to be, or they're fasting and they're praying and God's talking to them about you. Let me tell you something. God will always tell you about you, and others will only confirm it. Never be at the mercy of someone in your life spiritual that's maneuvering you, because you're going to get in a lot of trouble if they have a bad day and they give you a word at the wrong day under the wrong star. Then your life can go south. I was told in the 1990, six women sat down with me and told me in independent meetings that I was their husband. And the Lord had spoken to them. He appeared tap dancing to one. Another one, he was juggling on a unicycle going over Niagara Falls. But the point was, I learned how to bite my lip in a certain way so I could listen with a deep look of concern while wanting this to be over as quickly as possible. Six people. Now, I can understand God speaking to one person. But it's not Utah, you know what I mean? It can't have been, maybe it could be one, but it couldn't be everyone, you know? And so I was naive enough, thank God, to not even pay attention to most of that. But I had six meetings with people who sincerely were giving me all the arsenal as to why God had spoken to them. Now, loved one, the Lord will always speak to you first, and then he will confirm that through other people. Only Holy Spirit will confirm what you already know to be true. So here's my point. Don't ask everybody about your business. Ask the few that you trust about your business, because resistance is normal. It's natural. I don't want to get you scared. Pastor said we're going to go through hell. No. Most of you come through your crucible already. Most of you have been crushed mostly already. The oil's starting to come out. You know, you just don't... You don't just get crushed forever. They don't just crush olives forever. They crush them once. Yes, they do. They grind them to pulp. Then they press them. They put them in little containers under great weight to be pressed. And then you get the little bit of oil on that experience. Have you ever gone through the school of hard knocks and realized, I got a thimble full of oil. I should have 16 barrels of oil for what I've been through. Well, loved one, the oil that comes from your crushing is unique to you, and that's where your anointing is. See, most people don't realize it's what you've survived that your target of ministry is. You know, it's one thing to have children. That's, boy, you know that. Parents, you know that. It's a life-changing experience. To have a special needs child, that's a whole different thing. Oh, by the way, you're something wrong with your child. We didn't know anything was wrong with Michael. Nothing. None, ultrasounds, nothing. All the experts, nothing. About ready to give birth, and they said, there's a problem with your boy. We got to get him out real quick. I remember them slicing her open. Whew. They got him out quick. The doctor, Ray Polyakin, by the way, is the greatest, one of the greatest human beings ever. He was our OBGYN. Ray is legendary in this community. And Ray's calm. Ray could be facing the gates of hell, and he'll whistle. But when you see Ray getting a little tick, because he knew there was something wrong, we got to get this baby out real quick. They took Michael out. All right, now this is an old story to me. He's 17 years old now, and Shannon is here, one of his precious gifts. Hi, Shannon. All of our listeners, but five people just understood what I said. Shannon's sitting here today. Well, having a special needs child is a whole different kettle of fish. Because it happens and then it stays forever, and then you have to adapt your life, and then you have to, you know what I mean? You learn how to bend and you learn how to think in a new way, and it's a different form of caretaking, right? And recently, you know, I've always sort of toyed with the idea of writing a book called My Name is Michael, and just talking about what is it like when you hear that your child's special needs. And by the way, Michael was so special needs, it took six doctors to tell us what they didn't know. Nobody knew anything, and they still don't to this day. Some stuff can happen in your life that there is no textbook for, there is no label for, and God just has to be your breath one moment to the next. Amen? It's a rough thing. But you know what? I've learned the crushing I've been through, the experience. Michael is just a piece of the furniture in our house. We love him. We mock him all the time. You can only mock handicapped people when you have a handicapped child. I mean, we just mock him all the time. He has different pet names. Grant's friends come in and hear how we tickle him until he can't breathe, and then we stop just so that he won't die just then. You know, he has a wonderful life. But people that don't understand, that are on the outside looking in, go, they just mocked a handicapped boy. Yeah, we did. You see, there's something unique to your crushing that God gives you grace for. See, other people look in and go, how do you do that? And it's just a joke, because God gives you the grace for it. I don't know Michael any other way. Someone asked me the other day, they said, are you praying for his healing? I said, no, we're praying he'll wear a hat and not take it off, because he looks so cute in his hats, but he grabs the hats right off. Well, good. I'm glad that moved you. You receive unique grace in your unique crushing. So quit thinking resistance means God doesn't love you. Setbacks mean you're not in his will. Wake up. Paul said, have you had your feet beaten and broken so many times and then walked 1,500 miles around Asia barefoot? I think not. The Bible says you've not yet resisted unto death, but we complain as though we're dying every moment we're resisted. This is America, folks. In the other parts of the world, the children of God are suffering for their faith without food, without water, in prison cells, locked up, tortured, beaten, killed, just like Paul went through. That just isn't here yet. Yet. It's coming. Catch the wind. Resistance is normal. It's not unusual. It's because you're moving ahead in God's will. Keep going. Don't ever quit. It's because you got a new idea, a vision, a dream. The Lord's been messing with me about Michael, saying, Craig, you need to do stuff that's related to Michael. You need to talk to some of the audience and the people in the special needs community. You know, the moms and dads, you don't know what to do when you're in NICU and you go to the payphone to call somebody. I remember the first time I called the church people. That's all I knew to call because all the doctors didn't know what was wrong with him. He's going to live 10 minutes. No, he'll live 10 years. No, he won't ever live to 20. They don't know what they're talking about. I read more journal articles in 3 days than they ever read on any of these topics. But you know what? If there's something, when there's no one to call, I thought, what if there was something on the payphone that would have said, if you're in trouble, call 24 hours a day, day or night for prayer right now. And someone that's been there will walk you through it. I always wondered, why isn't there something like that? Craig, Craig, what? What is thy will, O God? Handicapped child. A lot of people have handicapped kids and they kill themselves. When we were at UCLA, 3 times they tried to convince us to take his tube out and let him die. They said it'll take about 3 days for him to starve to death. So they're saving preemies 10 feet over, 10 feet beyond that. They've got 4 kids that are dying because the parents said they have a heart murmur, take out the tube. I said, you know, I love Jesus, and this is my child. And whether he has arms or legs or ears or anything else, he's my boy. So stop with the pull the feeding tube out. Okay? That's resistance. With a guy in a white jacket at UCLA who probably knows more than we do. Thank God I wasn't 20 years old and stupid, thinking a doctor with a clipboard. Remember doctors used to do all the smoking advertisements? Doctor, which type do you smoke? Why, puffies, of course. Remember in the 60s? Doctors, 4 out of 5 doctors smoke puffies. What does that mean? Oh, anyway. I just said, he's going to stay. And I love him just for who he is. But boy, I'm telling you, loved one, in your life, you have some unique resistance too. Tailor-made challenge. Could be your childhood. Could have been your family of origin. Could have been your daddy issues, mommy issues, whatever they are. They're sort of all surfacing like beach balls coming up right now. Don't be afraid. It's God who's behind it. If you are holding a beach ball under the water, try holding two. It's really hard. It's exhausting. Let it up. Whatever happened in your father's house, your mother's house, let's face it. Last week about lions, we learned how they hunt. The lionesses do all the hunting, by the way, and all the girls said. Amen. Yeah, the lionesses don't have a mane, but that allows them to hide easier in the grass. And ladies, you don't need a mane to fulfill the destiny that God's given your life. Quit wanting a mane. Manes are us. I'll glue one on. So the women hide better without the mane, but they hide behind the antelope, and then the lion goes in front, whose roar is heard 5 miles away, and he roars at the victim, and the victim turns and runs. Do you know what? You never turn and run from a lion. In this case, you'll go right to the ladies, and they tear you to pieces. In Vietnam, there used to be like 2 guys with a gun in front, and our boys would walk innocently in that direction and get a little firefight and run back where there were 100 behind them, the traps behind you. Don't run from your fears, is my point. Face your fears. Embrace the pain. It will lose its power over you. Move forward. Fall forward. But don't take the tactic of the one who is as a roaring lion to confront you and get you to turn and run. Do you know when you turn and run from a lion, you're dead? They get you or he gets you. You know what they do in Africa? You face a lion. If you run into a lion, you face him and you go, ch-ch-ch, which says, this is my territory. This is not your territory. And he's confused and dazed. and they would leave. Now, if you go stick your head in their mouth and try to make a video or something, you might, but they will turn. When you face the fear, it will be conquered. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Don't quit. Keep pressing through and you'll make it. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. I'm telling you some of his tactics. He's very angry about this today. So you run to the pain, you embrace the pain, and it loses its control. See, your mind says, if I face the pain, I'll die. God says, if you embrace it for a minute, it'll lose its power. All right, now in conclusion, for the fifth time, come on. I just want to pray over the door that God is opening for you. And I want to stand with you against the fear, even the terror, of risking to go through a door. Peter had fished all night with his nets and he caught nothing. And Jesus said, go out again, throw your net on the other side of the boat. And he went. And he went. Go out again. The door God's opening, he's not just going to open a door. He's going to carry you over the threshold. Keep moving forward. Don't quit. And all those new nudges and ideas and thing of illumination flooding your heart, embrace it. Accept it. And press through the resistance, beloved. Press through the resistance. Just take a moment in his presence. I pray, Lord Jesus, for your precious daughter, that she would be blessed. That you remove all the fear from her heart in the name of Jesus. All the terror of, we rebuke you, unclean spirits, leave you, leave the daughter of the Most High, leave the daughter of Eve alone in Jesus' name, with your assaults mentally, physically, emotionally, addictively. In the name of Jesus, we pray a blessing upon your daughter right now, Lord. Remove the terror and the fear and the white knuckles and the so gifted in one area, so special needs in another, Lord. Comfort her, strengthen her, give her the lioness roar that can also be heard 5 miles away, Lord Jesus. Let your daughters advance upon the gates of the enemy. Lord, let's do like in Lord of the Rings, let's be crazy and attack Sauron. Let's attack the palace with a handful of people. It doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't. Don't quit. Keep advancing. And Father, I pray for your son, depressed and depleted and beaten down, but he is a lion. He's a lion's whelp. Let him practice his roar again, not his meow, but his roar. Restore the roar of the lion in this house this morning in the name of Jesus. Let him flourish. Let his mane begin to grow. The door God opens is for you, sweetheart, and no one else is going to get it. What's yours comes to you. But open your heart. Be suggestive to his motives. Let him lead the dance with you. As you're dancing, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, Jesus is leading this dance. Just take his nudge. Go left, go right, stop, move back, move forward. He's in charge. Father, have your will in our brother's life right now, Lord. And Jesus, you said that we are to pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us, that we may be children of our Father, which is in heaven. Lord, forgive us for trying to fight the fire with fire and fight anger with anger and yelling with yelling. No, no, no. We're going to pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us as they persecuted the prophets before. We are in glad company and blessed company. Praise God. Honey, embrace your resistance. The greatest demon you'll ever meet is at the door of your destiny. Don't be intimidated. Just a bag of wind. Push through. Push through. In Jesus' name. And if you don't know Jesus, it's just a personal thing between you and he. Just in your mind's heart, you can say, Lord Jesus, if you are Lord, if you did die for me, if you rose again from the dead for me, show yourself to me. Come into my heart. And that's that. He sees your heart. You don't need to go down front or raise a hand or do anything. Just in your precious heart, He's knocking. He's saying, can I come in? Can I show you who I am? Just say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come in. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say amen? Can you give the Lord some praise right now, just for a second? Just a little baby, just a patty cake praise. Now, you be encouraged, honey. It's going to be all right. He's got this. He's got all of it. He's got all of it. See, some people are broken records. They never get off the story. They're still complaining about what they did 10 years ago. They haven't advanced. Let me just leave you with this one more thought. There's good time in your life and there's bad time. Good time is when 5 years goes by and you grow and you change and you advance, right? Bad time is when 5 years goes by and you don't grow and you don't advance and you don't change and you're the same who you were 5 years ago. That's bad time. That means time that passes and the seasons that pass and there's no change, no fruit, nothing new, nothing advanced in your life. That's called bad time. Some of us have been sleeping for 10 years. Time's going by. We see that looking at your age right now. That doesn't mean you're growing up just because you're 10 years older. I know some stupid old people that have no wisdom whatsoever at 80. None. None. So we just want to bless you and say, it's good time for you this year. Take his nudges. One bite at a time is how you eat an elephant. Just do the next right thing. Don't get freaked out. You don't have to learn everything all at once. Just take one bite after another. I told someone the other day, I said, it's only one cookie, but when you say that every cookie, you burst forth on the left hand and the right. So doing one little thing at a time is very important. Amen? God bless you. Now, those of you visiting us, God bless you. Welcome, welcome. You're our guests today. For all the rest of you, we're going to bring our tithes and offerings into the house of the Lord. There's no pressure whatsoever for you. And we just thank God for his mercy. Isn't his provision lavish? I'm telling you, he promises to meet our needs, not always our wants. But I know that you have needs today too. So before we do anything or we're asking you to give something, we want to pray for you and for your needs. Father, I pray for the Son of God here who is struggling in his own finances, Lord. We pray that you would crown him with a favorable blessing today, Lord, just for being here, just for being a man of God, listening to your voice. Let him advance, Lord. And for your daughters here that are struggling in financial, emotional, relational areas, we pray that you bless them just for sitting here today. They don't have to give anything. They don't have to do any religious act. But Lord, we do thank you so much for the privilege of giving to you. Everything we have is yours, every breath, every heartbeat. And you just ask for a portion sown into the house of the Lord. We gladly obey you. We gladly follow. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Just prepare any gifts that you have. And by the way, in the bulletin, there's a prayer card. And right now would be a great time for you to get out a little pen. And you don't even have to put your name. God knows your name. Just jot down any concern that you have. Those are, Sandra picks those up out of the offering bag and gives those to me when I leave. So I have those. So if you want to take a minute, you have a bulletin. There's a little prayer card in there. Maybe you just want to say, help. There'll be at least one person at the other end of that will go, Lord, help them. Sometimes that's all you need. Amen. So go ahead, get your cards ready there, and we love you.